Amen. You know, the Father was speaking to me about the power of agreement. The power of agreement. We can all agree that Jesus lived, right? We all agree that Jesus died for our sins. We can all agree that Jesus arose from the dead. We all agree that he ascended to the Father's right hand. And we all agree that one day he's going to return for us as bride. Amen. And as we agree on that, if we just agree on that, we can watch mountains being moved. And God can do some marvelous things. So look with me in Ephesians 4 to begin with. I'm just going to set a foundation for the direction we're going this morning. And the Apostle Paul was speaking in Ephesians 4 about unity of the Spirit. In verse number 1, he says, "And I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And what the Lord is speaking to my heart about, that we're going to go to Romans 15 this morning. Again, the apostle is writing to the church at Rome. And there's a little dissension between the Jews and the Gentiles. How many know in the body of Christ sometimes there's some dissension? Amen. Sometimes there's some strife and discord. You know, so he gives us instructions here, and we're going to follow the instructions of the Lord. Amen. And Romans 15, verse number 1, he says that we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that have reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The title of this morning's message is A Call to Oneness. And when I was looking at that, one of the definitions in Webster's for oneness is uniqueness. And God is doing something unique in our midst. Amen? And he's called us to have one mind, one mouth, because we serve one master. Amen? One mind, one mouth, and one master. Can we take our word, can we lift it and make a declaration together here tonight, today, excuse me, in night yet, haven't got there. Will you repeat after me? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Have your way in my life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray this morning, just as Isaiah prayed, Father God, and you sent the angel to the altar and you took those tongs and you took them coals. and you place them upon his lips. The word declared, because he was a man of unclean lips. And Father, I pray this morning that you purify the words that proceed out of my mouth. May every word that comes from this mouth today be from you and not from me. And Father, we thank you that it will accomplish everything that you sent it to do, and will never cease to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 You know, boy, when I see that, especially in the age that we live in today, when I was reading the one mind, man, that's a challenge. Hello? How many know that God wants to challenge you and I? Amen? He takes us from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of God. None of us have arrived yet. All of us are on a journey. But thank God for the journey. Amen? Thank God for everything that he's done, everything he's doing, and everything he is still yet to do. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've got excitement in my heart. Hallelujah. Because you know what? I know God's up to something. Amen. And when I know, see, he's up to something, man, it brings some joy to in my heart. Amen. So first he says, in oneness of mind, one mind. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You have a note thing there, because I'll be all the way through the word today. And you might want to take notes and so you can look later. And it'll be also be recorded. You can go to the website and you can listen to the message also. And it's closing to the second letter in the church to the church of Corinth. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. In other words, if we recognize and realize what God is doing is he's expanding his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's his kingdom. And we're workers for the kingdom of God. And what the adversary tries to do is keep us arguing and disagreeing with one another in here so we never get out there. Amen. But the Lord ain't going to let that happen, is he? Amen. He says this to us. He says, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know, in James 1, verse 8, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, not just in some, but in all of them. So God is calling us to have singleness of mind. And that's not kind of difficult if we're trying to do it on in our own strength. But the word of God declares that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I'd rather glorify God in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Amen. It's his power, not our power. And what he is doing is about, it's all about him. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 8. Again, we're talking about how we conduct ourselves. The word of God says this. He says in 1 Peter 3, verse number 8. He says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, or have pity on others. Don't be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And as we're looking at this, what God wants to remind each and every one of us is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead as a believer in Christ dwells in you. Amen? The Spirit of God dwells in you. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you have the mind of Christ. So when we're speaking the same mind, we're speaking by being led by the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, The Apostle Paul poses a question in verse 16. He says, "For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Answer, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. And this is how we can operate and we can flow together in unity. You know, what the Lord was speaking to my heart about, united we stand, divided we fall. And what the Holy Spirit said to me this morning, he said this. He said, united we stand, divided we fall. God is about ready to bring down some walls, traditional walls that stood very, very tall, but they're getting ready to fall. Amen. God is getting ready to do something out of the natural. He puts his super to our natural and it becomes supernatural. Amen. And he's encouraging you and I with one mouth, one mind, and one mouth glorify God. Now, here we go with one mouth. Let me say something to you. Have you ever noticed when we get in the atmosphere of praise and worship, the adversary tries to distract? Because really, it's one of the only times that we're all saying the same thing. And where there's unity, there's power. Hallelujah. When we unite and come together and we say the same thing, all of a sudden, mountains begin to move. Amen. Amen. If two agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them from my Father which is in heaven. The power of agreement. But he says with one mouth, so turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." How can I do that? I've got the mind of Christ. Amen? I've got the mind of Christ. You've got the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Amen? We have the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned. Amen? But we have the Spirit of God. Amen? So as we have the Spirit of God, we can move in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and we all say that, think the same thing. Amen? Amen? You know, you might not like it. Everybody has different personalities. And God created you that way. Don't try to be like anyone else. Be the best you can be. Let the God shine to your life and do everything God's called you to do with your personality. Amen. God don't want to know that. God isn't looking for a bunch of fakes. We're not faking it until we make it. God's the real deal. Amen. God's the real deal. Okay. You with me here today? You know, he says also, turn with me in Matthew chapter 12. Solomon said this in Proverbs 18:21. He said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof." God wants us to know and realize that seed time and harvest, whatsoever we speak, has a harvest. Be careful what you say. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Because you don't realize how powerful you are and how you move things because you're a child of God. Hello? Jesus said this in Matthew 12, verse number 36. He says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Amen? Amen. Are you with me today? We've got the same mind. We have one mind and we will have one mouth. Amen. Matter of fact, the apostle says to the church at Philippi and Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I think what the Lord was saying to me is we have the mind of Christ. There's one mind. There's one mouth. We're proclaiming the gospel. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Matter of fact, in Malachi 3:6, he says, "Behold, I'm the Lord. I change not." And all the world and things are changing all around us. There's something that stays the same. Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how he can bring some steadiness in a turmoil. That's how he can bring peace in the midst of a storm. Amen. Because he's a God, he does not change. We have things that we can stand on, that we can stand in faith in and believe in. Hallelujah. But what he was saying is not only does we glorify God, that not only we have one mind and one mouth, but we have one master. Master, Savior,
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like all heaven,
like the fragrance
after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 19. The Apostle Paul says, what? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore for glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have one mind, one mouth, one master. Look at me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 11. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God is doing something in our midst by the word. God is establishing something. He's going to bring something together and accomplish what he called the word to do. He says in verse number 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So with this in mind, turn with me to John chapter 13. When we're speaking about master, here Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross for our sins. He's gathered his disciples together and he's washing their feet. And he says in verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy you are if you do them. Now what the Lord was showing me, and what he said to me, you see Jesus, he's down on his knees and he's washing his servant's feet. He's washing the disciples' feet as an example to you and I. And what he showed me was Judas's feet. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew he was going to betray him with a kiss. But the Bible says that he got out and washed his feet. That Jesus knew the one that came against him. But in love, he still served him. And God is saying to you and I, many have hurt you. Some may even have betrayed you. But love them as I loved you. Serve them. Serve them. Let me be glorified in and through you. And watch and see what takes place. All of a sudden, things start shifting and things start moving and healing and restoration and reconciliation and all these things come. Amen. Amen. You know, he says in Ephesians chapter 6, and he was speaking to servants, and we're all called to be servants. Amen. You know, some people think you're called to be a pastor. No, God didn't call me to lord over anyone. He called me to serve them. He called me to help stir up the gifts that are in them. He helped me to help disciple and help to grow and to allow everyone to become who God called them to be. Amen. And God needs every last one of us. God needs every gift in the room. God chooses to always work through us, not around us. Hallelujah. He could have done it. He could have just spoken it would have been. But he chose to use someone like you and I. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the grace of God. I'm grateful for the love of God. Because I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't merit it. But by God's grace and his mercy and his love. Amen. Amen. So he says in Ephesians 6, verse number 5. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Amen. So what are we doing this for, and what this is all about is for the King's glory, for the glory of God, for the expansion of the kingdom of God. So in closing today, amen, God ain't finished. And closing today, there's one message that God wants to get in our heart. God says in 1 John 3, 1, 3:11, he says that we love one another. His great love, that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. I don't know about you, there is no greater love than to lay down our life for someone else. Amen. And God manifested his love for you and I. So he's telling you and I simply this today. He says that with one mind and one mouth, and we have one master. Let's glorify the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And let us love one another. Let us love one another. Let us forgive one another. Amen? You know, that so many times we hold people hostage. And when we hold others hostage, we become prisoners ourselves. I don't know about you, but God wants us to operate and flow in freedom. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to go through some tribulation and some storms in this world. But he says this, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word. And I'm grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it in the house to do. Your word says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. Father, your word declares that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, if you're not 100% sure, I'm saying 100% sure, that if you died today, that you would go to heaven. You could know that before leaving this place today. The word of God says in 1 John 5:13, he says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. In the closing moments of this service, if you do not know Jesus, or one time you knew him and you slipped away and you drifted away and you feel him tugging on your heart to return, could you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need a fresh encounter of Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Just pause it for a moment. Father, I thank you, Father God, for every heart and every life that's gathered in this room. And I'm grateful for the plans that you have for today, Father God, that you're doing something in our hearts and lives. I'm going to ask Pastor Basil to come right now. I'm following the instructions of the Lord. You may open your eyes. The Lord has joined us together.
Praise God.
The Lord has joined us together. He's given us a call. He's called a call on both of our lives. And some of these things we don't understand, but we know that we heard from the Lord. So we're going to walk these things out in faith. The Lord said this to me just yesterday. I was in the park running, and the Lord always speaks to me when I'm running in the park.
All right.
Not running from him, running with him.
Amen.
And he said, son, I want you to eliminate this word out of your vocabulary. What if?
Wow.
He told me there is no what ifs. He says, what God has joined together, let no man tear asunder.
Praise God.
And the word of God declares in Psalms 133, it's all familiar to us. Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of the garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Well, you say, well, Pastor, you're quoting about marriage when who God joins together, let no man tear asunder. And what God says, it is a marriage. That we are the bride of Christ.
That's right.
And we all have the same husband. And what the Father is saying today is, if you will stand in agreement with us, that you see the call of God and that you're agreeing with us to stand with us, would you please stand?
Praise God. Praise God.